Dan Bernstein.
Eventually, they stop growing.
Marshall Harris.
I stopped growing physically, but not mentally, I hope.
That's a lovely sentiment.
Yeah.
Of course, we're all trying.
I'm just here to grow with you guys.
The Bernstein and Harris Show.
At our place, we're really trying to grow the man.
Middays 10 till 2.
Pistol formation. Motion man Mooney. Robinson in the backfield. The throw from Cousins. It's caught at the 40. Moving upfield. Hodge, he could go. 10-5. Touchdown. That is a winner for the Atlanta Falcons. 45 yards, and it's over.
That was our next guest, Ian Eagle, on the call on Westwood One earlier this month. He will be on the call tonight, the Texans and the Jets, Thursday night football. Pregame coverage at 6:30, kickoff 7:15. You'll hear it right here on the Score, the Odyssey app on Westwood One. He will also be on the call for Bears Cardinals alongside Charles Davis on CBS at 3:05 kickoff. So, and not to mention calling Bulls Nets on Friday. So all things coming up, Chicago and the Score here for Ian Eagle, who is with us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino, CircaLasVegas.com. Hello, Ian. How are you?
If I have a issue with Nikola Vucevic catching a touchdown tonight, that's when I know there are problems. That's where wires have crossed, and now I don't have control of my brain anymore.
Do you ever worry about that? I mean, you're such the consummate professional. You've been doing this for so long at such a high level. Has that anything remotely like that happened to you?
No, the only thing I could think of when my son was playing Little League Baseball, one of his coaches, and he had a son on the team as well, was Brian Lopez. And I went to a practice, was helping out a little bit, but I had a run. I had a lead because I had a net game that night.
Oh, yeah, Brooke Lopez.
And I had Brooke Lopez going to the rim with a power layup, and I called him Brian Lopez. Yeah. And I think it made the guy's year.
We had
four viewers.
Well, you've had more viewers for these Thursday night games than maybe Thursday nights past. I love that the quality of the Thursday night game is not as much in question as it has been. What are you looking at tonight? I mean, this is so intriguing for so many reasons to have Aaron Rodgers and the losing streak they're on against a Texans team that's just trying to figure out who besides Tank Dell is going to be thrown to.
Yeah, who knew that this is where we would be hitting week 9, where it was complete disaster for the New York Jets. Houston proving last year wasn't a fluke, but they're also learning it's hard to replicate when you don't have healthy bodies. C.J. Stroud is really everything that you look for in a leader, in someone that you can build a team around, that can be the face of a franchise. He checks every box, and I do think that the guys on that team feed off his confidence, his energy. So I still have a lot of optimism in regards to Houston figuring it out. They get Nico Collins back, hopefully, at the start of next week when they begin practicing following Thursday Night Football. So the loss of Stephon Diggs, yes, but I think there might be enough still on that roster and maybe a trade up their sleeve to be ready for a playoff push. The Jets, look, I do their preseason package. I have lived in this area my entire life. You hear time and time again from people that say it's the same old Jets. And as someone that is a rational person, I try to view it through this prism of, no, that's not true. That's not how it works. But it just may be true. It might be the reality that this franchise faces. This has gone as poorly as you could have possibly imagined. If you looked at the worst case scenario, it's played out that way every step.
Well, when you have someone who essentially got everything he wanted and an owner who was completely on board in indulging every last whim, it's like every time, it's like the old man in the manse who pulls the sash or rings the bell to have his crumpets brought to him. They have waited on Aaron Rodgers hand and foot, and this is what they've gotten. Is there any escaping what we're really seeing here?
Well, the only escape, I think, moving forward is their roster is not that bad. I do think it's actually a really talented roster. I don't know what plan B is going to be. My presumption is that Aaron Rodgers won't be here. The coaching staff won't be here. The front office won't be here. So it's going to be a complete reset for the franchise unless something drastically changes the rest of the way this season. But it's not like the cupboard is bare. Someone that comes in as a head coach and with a staff is going to walk into a locker room that has a bunch of pieces, and obviously they would have to address the quarterback spot. I think in a way, and I'll just make this one comparison because you guys could relate in the city that you're in. When you're in a town that has multiple sports teams in a specific sport, there's one that often becomes the dominant team because they have the storied history or they have the fan base that's built in that's been passed on generation to generation. And then there's the other that is constantly searching for relevance. And I think with the Jets, you can figure out which is which. They're always in search for grabbing a headline, creating some buzz, trying to get people to buy season tickets. And it's not always coming from a genuine place. And I often see that as how you get to where you are when the smoke clears. Again, you can make the comparisons to Chicago all you want, but that's a real thing. That's been the case for many, many years here.
Yeah, they're the Sox.
Yeah, I wasn't going to put a label on it. I was just to let people use their own devices
No, they're the Sox. It's okay.
Theater of the mind. Radio's theater of the mind, guys.
I've heard the comp before. I know Jets fans. I've got Jets fans in the family, and trust me, they behave a lot like White Sox fans. But the Bears game, for one, now has another storyline added to it, because while everybody is still watching the highlights of the handoff to Doug Kramer at the goal line that ricocheted off his taped-up fingers and went to the other team, just about a half an hour ago, Bears offensive coordinator Shane Waldron, when pressed on it, said he believes in the call, he thinks it was the right call at the time, and he would call it again. So I'm just trying to figure out the color of the sky in his world.
I think obviously these things pop up. It may not have been as big an issue if the fail Mary never takes place. You get the win, and while it might be part of the subtext, it doesn't move to the forefront because you're looking at a team that's 5-2, that's on the rise, that's riding a 4-game winning streak, that's going into Arizona looking to position themselves for a postseason run. I try to view it this way, which is if we spoke prior to the season and I told you, hey, the Bears are going to be 4-3 going into Week 9, taking on the Arizona Cardinals. Most Bears fans, without knowing how they got there, would say, okay, yeah, sign me up. I like that. The problem is you actually have to play the games and then you have to have feelings and emotions following the games. The most pressing question, as we know, is, all right, how does a team recover? Does this define your season? Is this a moment that the team will live in infamy forever because they did not recover from this loss? Or is it a challenge along the way and Caleb Williams and the Bears learn from it, rise from it, bounce back in Arizona and show the kind of gumption and grit that they have? That's really the crossroads here. I'm not even sure this game is going to define that. But there will be a sense from around the league of, all right, now what? Is this the end of the road? Were changes, major changes made at the end of this season based on a number of issues, but one of them being the fact that not only did they not defend the play correctly, but when given a chance to explain why they defended it or the philosophy, that didn't come out in a way that made a whole lot of sense. It was wonky, and that often can lead to major changes in philosophy or a change in approach to what the team wants to do. So you can draw your own conclusions. We're going to find out about that probably at the end of the season, but they do have a chance to right a wrong and get a win and change the narrative if they get it done on the road, which they have not been able to do quite yet.
I have actively been calling for much higher gumption levels. I've been using everything in my power and the bully pulpit that we have to increase gumption for all.
I don't even know if that's in the dictionary. It might be one of those words that we just use in sports and we have no idea where it came from. I don't remember ever getting a report card for my kids and the fifth grade teacher saying, "We're looking for more gumption out of your child."
So it is defined.
That's a legitimate point.
Dan's going to give you the definition.
It is defined as shrewd or spirited initiative and resourcefulness.
Oh, no, then I used it perfectly.
Yeah, you did indeed.
You absolutely did. the voice you hear is Ian Eagle, who will be on the call for that Bears-Cardinals game, along with Charles Davis on CBS. Kickoff, of course, 3:05, because 3:25 is probably out the window for the time being for this particular Bears team. What are you expecting in this matchup? What's got you excited about Sunday's game?
Well, I want to see how the quarterback responds, because there have been moments where you've seen what this could be, what this could look like. Again, who knows down the road who he's going to be working with on the offensive end? Is it this current group? Is it a different group that we feel like could bring his game to another level? Ultimately, I want to see him. I look back on my own broadcasting career, starting in 1998 on CBS, so doing the NFL and Peyton Manning's rookie year, later Tom Brady, guys that have had glorious careers, but getting a sense of who they are early, and it does give you insight. So sitting down with them, talking to them, and then watching them in person, to me, that's what I'm most looking forward to. And then there are a lot of similarities in what's going on with Chicago right now, how Kyler Murray started his career. Winning as the number one overall pick as a quarterback is not usually on the table. Andrew Luck did it with the Colts, but more often than not, you're going to a really bad team that doesn't have a whole lot of big-time talent around the young QB. The Bears have found ways to win, and to me, that's a really good sign, and a sign that they are following Caleb Williams, and there is a unique quality to someone like that that just knows how to do it. It isn't always the prettiest. You look at the numbers after, it doesn't blow you away. But even last week, if they make the one play to knock the ball down, that's a win. That goes in the W column, and that goes into part of the learning experience for a rookie QB. So to me, it's all about him and how he handles himself and his comportment in this game, and if he can get it done on the road, because that's really the next step in showing that you can travel and win.
Ian, always a pleasure. I will be interested to get your impressions of this very different Bulls team. You're not going to recognize the way that they play without DeMar DeRozan. And I'm a little concerned that in a year they have to be bad to keep their number one draft pick, that they might be better than I thought. So,
and I think there are other teams that are in a similar category, and the Nets might be in that same exact classification that you're laying out right now, that they play really hard and they're going to find wins in a season where you may want to find more losses, considering the draft that is up on the board for 2025.
Indeed. Thanks as always for joining us. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. See ya.
That is the great Ian Eagle.